Hello, everyone. If I could change my name. Oh, yes, here we go. I am Coach Kathy. I am your resident feelings coach. I also have just a little bit of information in my back pocket about your nervous system. If we need to go there tonight, I'm happy to do so. As everybody comes in, I think I'm going to teach a concept real quick. But first, if you want to be coached tonight, hello, Annette. If you want to be coached tonight, go ahead and raise your hand. It is open coaching. I would love for it to be on how to feel the hard stuff without eating. And we can kind of dive into some of the reasons you overeat or maybe snack when you're not hungry or you eat past enough. But first, I'm going to teach you a little nervous system tool. How about that? How's that sound good? I want to talk about orienting. Does anybody know what orienting is? So, orienting is a type of So it's almost like a type of meditation, except it's easier than meditation. Now, I'm a girl who's never thought meditation was super easy. I would either fall asleep or I'd have a really hard time wrangling my brain to keep it like empty. Not good at keeping my brain empty. My brain goes ping, 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 ping all the time. Always thinking about something. In fact, I've looked over at my husband several times during our marriage and saw a look on his face and what are you thinking about? He'll be like, got nothing. I'm so jealous of that. I think a lot of times as women, we are not conditioned to empty our brains. Our brains are always on alert, always thinking about things. And part of that has to do with our nervous system, always making sure we're safe. Okay. So orienting is kind of a neat way to focus your brain and create a little bit of safety. Okay. So it shows orienting. I have notes. Orienting shows you that you're safe in your environment, in your like office or your bedroom or wherever you are. And it invites you to be present in the present moment. So many times, our nervous systems are jacked up. We're feeling anxious. We're feeling, angry and frustrated because we're thinking about the future or we're thinking about the past. Orienting brings you to the present in your present environment so that you know that it's okay, that you're safe, that you're empirically safe. And that gives you the opportunity to access the feeling of safety. So, orienting reduces anxiety. It helps you become more calm, more centered. And here's the best part, and this is with any kind of meditation, it builds neuropathways, new neuropathways in your brain, new habits that help you return to a feeling of calm, peace more quickly. We call that home base, that feeling where you're content, you're controlled, you're calm. We call that home base. So, orienting can help you do that. The more often you do it, the more you're able to bring yourself back to home base. So here's an example of an orienting meditation. Okay, everybody ready? Once you put your feet flat on the floor, maybe even put your hands on the desk or in front of you on your lap, palms up, because that means you are in a receiving posture. Okay? And I want you to look around you and come up with five things you can see. So for me, it would be my reflection in the Zoom, my window that looks outside, my computer, my light, my ring light, you can see it in my glasses, and maybe this pen. Five things I can see. Okay. The next thing you do is four things you can touch. So for me, it's the desk, my feet on the floor, my chair, my pen that I picked up. Is that four? My desk, feet on the floor, chair, yeah, pen. Then three things you can hear. You can hear my voice. I can hear the rain outside. I can hear the TV downstairs. Two things you can smell. So I can smell the clean air. I can smell the rain. Have you ever smelled rain? Maybe you can smell coffee brewing or dinner fixing. And then the last thing is one thing you can taste. Sometimes it's toothpaste if you've just brushed your teeth. Sometimes it's the, coffee if you've just had a cup of coffee. I just ran downstairs and got a snack. I got a little square of cheese. I can still taste the cheese. Sometimes it's nothing, right? So when you engage those five, your five senses, and you do five things you can see, four things you can touch, three things you can hear, two things you can smell, and one thing you can taste, you're bringing your focus back to what's around you, to the present moment, and that's orienting. If you were to hit the Googles for orienting meditations, you'll find that one and you'll find a lot more. Sometimes people orient based on colors. Five things they can find that are blue, three things they can find that are red. Some people do it with shapes. Five things that are square, four things that are circles. This is my favorite meditation to do when I'm sitting outside or when I'm walking, because I will I will listen to, I'll try and listen, find five different sounds, or actually it's three you can hear, right? Five things I can see when I'm walking outside. And it's just a really, really great way to focus your mind on where you are in the moment. Candace says, I've always been curious on these studies that demonstrate where humans are not good enough with multitasking and not accounting for people, for enough people with ADHD. Yeah, for sure. Now, I will say, Candace, and I see you have your hand raised, so that's amazing. We get to talk. Our brains don't multitask very well. We might say, well, I'm cooking and I'm talking to my kids and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. But we're not super productive if we're trying to do more than one thing at a time. And many times when we say, I've got, something I'm writing on this screen and somebody I'm talking to on that, we're really not multitasking. We have two things going at once, but we're only doing one thing at a time. And in the midst of all that, we're task switching. And that creates a pause in our brain because our brain has to catch up with what we want to do. So we're much easier focused if we can stay on one thing at a time. Okay. How'd y'all like that? Thumbs up? And anybody like the orienting? I find it to be super helpful. Okay, awesome. All right, let's get to coaching. Angela, you are first. Angela, let's see if she's going to come. Awesome. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
And all right, I'm vaguely outside, and I don't know if you can see, there's like a storm that I'm watching over the island.
Do you like that? Do you like watching the storm? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big hill that I go down almost every day to watch the dog, and it's beautiful.
Nice. All
Yeah,
right.
well,
What are we
I
coaching
just
on?
I tend to go very far away from home base when I'm at parties. So eating past enough, drinking past enough, and I had just started the journaling course. So when I got home and I was totally full and uncomfortable, and I had written in the top of my journal, I was silent. Not to make my partner mad.
Was this at the party? Why were you above home base at the party?
I think I had things I wanted to say just about myself that like haven't been said about our relationship.
And
I
you wanted
didn't
to
say
say
them.
these at the party, or were you noticing them at the party to address when you got home?
No, I was just thinking them. They came up. I wanted to say them. I never would have said them at the party or at home.
Are you still there?
For fear, yeah, for fear of like going through all those feelings, you know.
Okay. What feelings are you worried that will come up if you say the things you want to say?
I think anger and sadness, and because I'm really feeling them, I won't be saying in the my best self way. I'll be saying them out of anger. And I am angry, so.
Okay. Do you, when you're, okay, let's say you burn off the anger and you feel better tomorrow. Do you still have the impulse to say them tomorrow when you're closer to home base? Or is the
No, I'm
impulse only there when you're angry?
only when I'm angry. I'm really happy to just sweep them under the rug the next day and just be like, okay, oof, got through that without saying it.
Oh, see, that's. Okay, so just sweeping them under the rug is like pushing a beach ball under the water, right?
Yeah, I know, I know.
You hold a beach ball under the water, takes a lot of effort, right?
It's gonna smack you, yeah.
Yeah, then what happens when you turn your back on it? Kaboom, right? So you're really not
Exactly.
doing yourself any favors by sweeping them under the rug, by ignoring what creates this nervous system response for you. So if you don't want to talk with him, your partner, I just assumed him, I'm sorry, could have been her. If you don't want to talk with your partner about them, what else can you do?
That's what I've been really happy to journal, and I'm filling up notebook after notebook about all these feelings. And
Okay. Are they resolving? Or are they coming back?
I would say a couple are resolving because I'm looking at myself to, work on what I can do. Release the fact that it doesn't matter so much what they do. So it has calmed down a lot, but there are still some things I'm angry about. Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes if we look at the re at it, so I get annoyed with my husband, with my partner. Okay. I do. I mean, let's just be honest. We're humans, right? And the way I work through the annoyance or the agitation or the anger or whatever it is I'm feeling is I look at what result he is creating with this behavior that's annoying. And what result I'm going to create if I address it. Okay. So let's say he chews with his mouth full. And I can't stand this. It sounds like a cow chewing their cud, and it annoys the crap out of me. Is that worth, I kind of weigh it. Is it worth me having a conversation with him about it? Or is it just mine to manage? All right. So the result he's creating is he's just eating. He's not thinking about it. The result I'm creating is I'm fixing a blow because I can't stand the chewing of the cud, right? Or I can say, you know what? He's just eating. This is just how he eats. He's been eating this way for the 37 years we've been married. Okay. So that's an example of, evaluating whether or not you want to take that on. Now, if I caught him in bed with another woman, best you know, we would address that out of anger, out of irritation, out of frustration, or whatever. That one would be addressed because I don't like the results he's over here creating.
Right.
Okay? And I don't need to wait until I'm at home base to address that. Let's just be honest. That's how I feel about that. So I've given you two pretty big extremes. But I think in doing so, what I'm demonstrating to you is you get to decide how you want to react to whatever your partner is doing or not doing. That is totally within your control if you are at home base. When you're at home base, you can be intentional with your reaction. But if you catch your partner sleeping around and you're way above home base, you might not care about being intentional. You might want to just go, all right, we're going to have a conversation right now, and I'm going to do the talking.
And that's the thing. I think I was letting everything go because I was like, you can't change them. You can't change them. You can't change them. And just, I do think I need to pick a few times where I speak up and, ask for, can you work on that? Or can you? Let's make this a conversation.
And
But
I like the fuzzy part of that, okay? You can't change them sounds very, I don't know, definitive. I mean, you're not even giving him an opportunity, them, her, your partner, an opportunity to change if you're not addressing it. And when it comes to Ken, I'll ask him, I'll say, are you in a mood right now where we can have a conversation and you not get defensive? I mean, I'll just start it that way. And he'll tell me yes or no. And I'll say, you chew with your mouth open, dude, and it's just really gross. Can you think about that a little bit? Do you think that would be okay to work on? And he'll go, well, yeah, I didn't know I was doing that. Or he'll go, no, I want to chew with my mouth open. And then that's to the point where you're probably not going to be able to change your partner, but you might be able to, bring in something for them to think about.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing where it's like, I would like you to consider me. I would like you to think about me in some point in the day. And that's why I'm like piping up about one thing, you know?
So, is there a way you can trigger your partner to consider you? Like, hey, thinking about you text. Or don't forget to bring home the milk, like I asked you. Or, is there a way that you can ease that?
I think I could journal about it. I think I could find some ways.
It's almost like we're looking for something that you can control around them. Okay? Because if you can find some level of control, then you're going to be closer to home base.
I like that.
Now, if you go to a party and they're just, dancing on the tables and drinking too much and all that kind of stuff, then you might not be able to control much in the moment, but you can certainly control the conversation the next day if it's something that's bothersome to you. You probably just want to be at home base or closer to home base so that you can speak intentionally and with thought.
When it's a bigger problem, get more intentional. And if it's littler, it's you don't have such a written out formality.
It's also
I'm gonna practice.
knowing your partner, right? I mean, if Ken and I went to a party and he's dancing on the table and drinking too much, I can tell him the next day, dude, that was, let's not do that again. And he'll be like, yeah, you're probably right. Okay. But if it was, over the past 15 years, this is what he's done, then it might be a different conversation.
I think, and I think that's what I was thinking. It was like, is this just ingrained in them, or is it? But you know what? Like, we've been together so long, maybe a conversation is a good start, a good practice, a good way in.
Could be. That's something that you have to evaluate and decide, right? And only you know that relationship the best. So, how do you approach it in a way that is likely to be received, understanding that your partner is going to receive it exactly like they're going to, right? No manipulation, no fawning, nothing like that, just being authentic and you. And maybe just prefacing it with, "Hey, you okay if we have a conversation? I got something on my mind. Are you receptive right now, or should I wait?"
Yeah, let people have dinner first.
What's that?
Let people have dinner first, right?
Yes, good call, right? Don't do it when somebody's hungry. Don't do it in the middle of their favorite TV show unless you've got a pause button on your remote, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does that help?
I think so. I think so. It's one of those things where it's trying to get through the hard feeling. And knowing
What is
you
the
do
hard
have to
feeling?
do it.
What is the hard feeling?
I think it's anger.
Yeah, but what's why are you angry? I mean, what's really going on under the anger?
I feel like I'm not being considered, or that, yeah, space for me to talk back, to say what I think.
Disrespected, maybe disconnected. I think identifying the true
Yeah, but
feeling
just
is
not
going to be
even listen
helpful
to
to
you.
you. Yeah. Not heard, left out. Yeah, we all inherently want to be
Identify.
heard. That's for sure. Anger is an easy one to get to. And anger is, it's almost like, somebody in the chat was saying it's a secondary emotion. I would call it like an umbrella. There's a lot of emotions underneath that could be, I don't want to say masking in, as anger, but anger is an easy one to identify. It's the ones that are underneath anger that are causing the anger that if you fine tune it and you figure out exactly which one it is, then you're more likely to address it.
There's a hurt feeling there.
Hurt.
When any of the kids are ready to, like, pummel someone, sometimes the hug is enough to make them go to tears, and you're like, okay, what is the matter?
Yeah.
Thank you.
I was just about to ask you what you were thinking.
Yeah, it was just kind of like unlistened to and considered. I just like to be heard, or
Yeah.
and it, and I think some instances it might be hard, but I think I've been sitting on the things for so long.
Being heard starts with hearing yourself. So when you dismiss this, you're not hearing yourself either. When you set it aside, you're not giving yourself the attention that you need. So once you decide to hear yourself, to pay attention to what you need, then you can decide what the next best step is.
Yeah, I definitely think all focus has gone to my partner. So just getting it back up to 25, 75, 35
Yeah.
would be nice. And so I have. I will keep journaling on that.
Okay. Holler at me if I can help you, okay?
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. All right, take care.
You too.
Okay. Candace, you're next. Hello.
Hi.
What you got tonight?
I have a goal of doing more pause plus permission, which I know you've taught a lot about. And I started trying it and then had questions. So I was like, hey, I know exactly who I need to talk to.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. And I did take the staff coaches and they gave me some insight, but I still would like to hear from you because you know what you're doing and it's your, I want to call it your method, but I'm sure it's not your method, but I hear
No, I probably hijacked it from somebody.
a lot. Right.
But that's okay.
So I get the idea of pausing and I get the idea of waiting for a period of time. So I set my goal small, like 5 minutes, like let's just go ahead and pause for 5 minutes, 2 to 5 minutes. Something comes up. And then obviously, and I want help on the permission side because I think I'm beyond the pause of like, I'm beyond the pause and then, okay, now you can have it. I want, it's not just permission. It's got to be that my, prefrontal cortex is clicking on and it's starting to have conversations of like, well, I don't think you actually want that. I think we need this instead. And then this other voice pops in and is like, kind of freaks out about, well, what do you mean? Like she said, as soon as I wait the time, I can have it.
Oh, this is a great question.
Right. So what do we do then when I start hearing the two voices where one of them being more calm is like, hey, clearly you might need a real break. Let's go for a walk. Let's, get some water. Let's do what you need. You're clearly just bored. You don't want to do this thing. And then the other part of me is like, no, you said if like a toddler, right? That you said if I did this thing, I'd get it. And I'm having a bit of an issue of what do I do now?
Okay, so two things. The first is permission. I want you to think about the permission piece in a couple of ways. It's there so that you're not just telling yourself no and restricting and depriving. Okay, you're giving yourself permission to eat if you need to. Okay, if the pause was, too hard or too tough or whatever. All right. So in the pause, you're pulling in all that stuff from Module 6 and OBS, all those basic human needs, anything that regulates your nervous system, anything that feels good to you that helps bring the temperature down. But if you're like way up on a 10 and you're trying to pause, it may not work. Okay. So pause plus permission is there to give you an opportunity to try something before you eat. All right, so let's say, well, right before this call, had the growl of hunger, knew I'm not finished work until probably 7 or 7:30 tonight. And I thought, I can either pause and tell myself, let's see if the growl passes, whatever. And then give myself permission to eat, or I can just eat. I decided I was hungry, so I could just eat. But if it was an urge to eat because I wasn't going to get to have dinner until about 7:30, then I could talk to myself. I could listen to that conversation that you're talking about on the one side saying, oh, but you're not really that hungry. We can pause, we can take some time. And the other one going, yeah, but we're not going to be able to eat until 7:30, right? And when that happens, when you're hearing that conversation, that's really, really great news because you're not just reacting to the urge voice. You're actually talking to the urge voice with your conscious brain. Okay? So when that happens, you want the conscious brain to have the last laugh, the last voice. Okay? The last comment. So if your urge brain is over here going, yeah, but you told me I could eat, and your conscious brain is going, honey, sweet pea, you're not really that hungry. Yeah, but you said I could eat. Yes, I did say you could eat, but we're not hungry. We don't need to. The pause worked. Yeah, but it's okay, sweetie. Whatever the, just let this brain, the conscious brain, have the last word. Change your environment, disrupt your pattern, whatever it is you need to do. And that urge voice will learn to listen to the conscious brain over time. How
over time.
long? Yeah, that was my next question. How long do you allow that conversation to go on? Because sometimes it feels like, okay, I set a timer for 5 minutes, I try to walk away, I take a break, like whatever that thing is. And then it like, then I'm in conversation for another 5 or 10 minutes with myself.
How
And
long are you willing to tolerate the conversation?
I don't want it to go longer than five. I don't want it to go longer than 5 minutes. Like
Why not?
I'm, because it's, and it's a, because then it's exhausting. Like you're just like, I will eventually just be like, fine, I'm
Okay.
done. I'm done arguing with the toddler voice. You can
It's
have it now.
probably exhausting because you don't want it to happen. There's a component of resistance or denial or frustration or something that's going on with you in that habit brain. What if you just decide the habit brain's doing exactly what it's supposed to do?
Argue with me?
It's got three purposes. Seek pleasure, avoid pain, make it easy. If you have always eaten as a result of whatever it is that you're trying pause plus permission around, habit brain wants you to continue eating. It doesn't want to make a change. It wants to make things easy and seek pleasure and avoid pain. So it's doing exactly what it's supposed to do. It's going, Candace, if we just eat, this will all be over. Right? And your conscious brain is over here going, yeah, but we really don't need to eat. And that's okay too. So maybe talking back to the habit brain and saying, thank you. Thank you for doing exactly what I need you to do. But right now I'm okay. Come back and talk to me when things aren't okay and we'll talk again or something like that. Okay?
That makes
Sometimes
sense.
the concept, it's kind of a heady concept, but it's the difference between allowing the habit brain to be there and resisting it being there. And that resistance creates all that tension in your body that makes it harder and harder to listen to the urge voice. But if you allow it to be there and you understand why it's there, guess what? You loosen up. You're not as activated. Your nervous system isn't as activated. You understand the habit brain's purpose. You understand why it's having that conversation. And you're like, okay, I can get curious about this. This is fun. How many excuses is it going to give me tonight before it just decides that we're not going to eat? You see the difference? It's almost like a how your perspective.
Welcoming.
It's almost like,
I'm agitated because it's like a toddler that won't go away. Like,
yeah. Well,
okay.
guess what? It's going to be a toddler that won't go away unless you start allowing it to be there, unless you take the temperature down on it.
And I think that's what I'm struggling with, is that it's the temperature isn't, so I'm trying to take 5 minutes to like calm down, and then it's like right back up, and I'm just, what if, and then it will come in with, well, it's permission, permission. That means you're allowed to do
And it
it.
is. It does mean. So maybe what you can do is you do 2 minutes today and then eat, and then 3 minutes tomorrow and then eat, and then 4 minutes the next day. You see what I'm saying? Maybe you just increase over time the length of the pause.
But that's where it is, where that's, I get the increasing of the length of the pause. Maybe it's that I'm jumping too fast to, I know I don't actually need to eat.
The
Like it's it.
permission piece isn't about whether or not you need to eat, right? It's about just giving yourself an opportunity to pause before you eat. The pause plus permission isn't about not eating. It's about creating something in that pause that maybe alleviates the urge to eat.
Right, so what happens if I alleviate the urge to eat then? Shouldn't I not eat, or do I still eat?
Yeah, if you don't have the urge to eat anymore, you don't eat. You're done.
But
Victory.
then it, is it because I'm arguing with myself means that the urge is still present?
Probably. If you're arguing with yourself rather than just giving the urge voice space to be what it's going to be, then you're probably just amplifying the urge by, I wish that urge wasn't there. And if it would just go away, I could have peace. No, you're just amplifying it that way. You're giving it more attention.
So for a period of time, if you're practicing pause, breath permission for the beginning, you really do pause and then eat, like allow it more or
Sometimes,
less, just like watch what's happening. And then over time, extending the timeout, or you just eventually don't need pause plus permission, it's just pause. Is that, I
Well,
guess I'm trying to.
I think pause plus permission will always be in my toolbox.
Sure.
Okay. I think it will always be something that I have to lean into sometimes. But what if you pay attention in the pause, you'll begin to learn what helps take the temperature down on the urge, whether it's a walk outside or a chat with your partner or
You hear the what do I need kind of thing, and then you actually
Yeah,
answer
figuring
that.
out what the unmet need is and meeting the need.
Maybe I'm trying to jump the steps too fast, where I'm trying to do pause plus permission is immediately I'll be able to not need to eat.
Pay more attention in the pause to what the
Okay.
need actually is. And if you meet that need, see if you need the permission.
Okay.
Okay. So an example might be it's 3 o'clock, you're at work. You're starting to get the lulls. You're a little tired. Urge voices over here going, "We need a snack. Time for snack. It's 3 o'clock." Conscious
Right.
brain says, "Okay, I'm going to take a pause for 10 minutes. I'm going to just go outside and give my brain a break. Then I'll come back to my desk and see if I still need something to eat." And when you come back to your desk, you're either the temperature's down or you're hungry. You know, you've satisfied whatever the unmet need is, and then you can decide if you still need to eat.
Yeah, I think I'm just too early in it, because I think what happens is I do that and then I come back and it like re-triggers the habit of, well, now that you're going to work on that really hard thing now, go ahead. Now you want the M&Ms again. So it like almost re-triggers the urge to want the food.
I suppose it could.
Just in the returning to the desk, I guess, is the.
So what could you do when you return to the desk when the urge re-triggers? What if you'd like
What if
dive
it's
into that spreadsheet you've been working on or call a
right?
customer or something like that, see what happens?
Yeah. Well, it's either within the pause plus permission, I'm now permitted to eat because I took the pause, technically, or it's that I need to.
But the permission piece is a decision,
Right.
right? It doesn't have to be an automatic. You can try one pause and try another pause. It's not, I think you're looking for hard and fast rules. And I think what you're going to have to do is play with it some to see what works for you.
I'm probably looking for hard, fast rules, guidelines, etc.
You know what? I could tell you, if you pause for 30 minutes, you'll never have that urge again, but I'd be lying to you.
Just get to 30 minutes.
I wish
Yeah.
I could tell you that, Candace, but I can't. It's going to be you evaluating your unmet needs with the comfort of knowing that if you can't meet them, you can eat. And the only reason permission is there is so that you don't enter a binge restrict cycle or an overeating restriction, that kind of thing cycle.
Right. Well,
Okay.
one of the things I think I figured out and asked coaches is that I had a weird fear that then I'll never get to eat that. Like I'll never get to eat
Yeah.
a treat. And then I was like, oh, then I probably need to plan treats, because if the only time I get a treat is when I'm stressed, well, my brain will become very stressed very easily. Like
Or when you get stressed, your brain will automatically go, instead of saying, we could just take a deep breath, it might automatically go, time for candy, rather than managing the stress.
exactly. And so I think that was something that came up, but I think this makes sense too, is that just need to give it more, need to actually address the need, and I'm not too early in that to.
Gave you something to think about, didn't we?
Yes.
All right.
Awesome.
Good
Thank
luck with
you.
it. Let me know if you
Appreciate
have more
that.
questions, okay?
All right. Thank you.
All right. See ya. Allison, you're next.
Hi. I love these comments. If I get immersed in a project, I forget about food, right? If you, Janet gets immersed in a craft or out in the garden, she can forget to eat. It can happen, especially if you're meeting that need. If you're, if the need really is to get in and do your work, and you get in and do your work, guess what? The urge goes away, right? Allison, you are still muted.
Oh, I
There you
thought
are.
I
Okay.
was unmuted.
All right, what you got?
Oh, well, I feel like I haven't been show well, I have been showing up here. I'm working on not saying things that are not fully true. I have been showing up and ask coaches, and I have been doing my planning, but I feel like I haven't really been utilizing these calls as much as I feel like I could, so I've made it my goal, and I put it on my calendar to come on Tuesday nights because that's the call that works for me. And so
Awesome.
part of this is like I'm here for that,
Okay.
and I do have stuff that I need to untangle, but I might need some help with that untangling.
Okay.
So a little bit of background, and something that I'm proud about is that I've been sober for almost 50 days.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And it's been like 100 days with alcohol, but I've been sober from weed for like 50 days. And it's something that I think a lot of people don't really view as an addiction. And it's not really talked about as an addiction, but it was definitely something that was hurting my life. And it's been something that I've been using for over 12 years, chronically, daily. And it got to a point where, I realized this is a problem for me, and it was blocking me from fully feeling my emotions. And so I finally was able to quit, and I've tried a few times, but for whatever reason, this time it's been sticking, and I don't want to go back because a lot has been better, and I've been feeling a lot of the hard stuff, and I've been working through a lot of like inner child trauma. I've been going to therapy. I've been doing all the things. And I guess I kind of had the thought in my head that, oh, well, when I quit weed, losing weight should be easy? And I will say for the first couple weeks, it was a lot easier. I might the first couple weeks of withdrawal, which I don't think people talk about this much, but there's definitely like physical withdrawals that happen if you chronically use weed as long as I have. I mean, I was waking up with night sweats. I had horrible headaches. I had almost no appetite for like 2 weeks. And part of me was like, whoopee, yippee, I'm gonna be skinny and I'm gonna have the body I want and meet my weight goals and not binge so much. And so for the first 2 weeks, that was, what I was thinking and feeling. And then the appetite came back. And now the appetite is back, and I'm feeling all the hard stuff, and I'm going to therapy, and I'm doing all the stuff, and I'm
Great.
still overeating. And
Okay.
I'm really frustrated. And I know I probably built it up too high in my head that, like, I guess I kind of had the thought that like being sober was going to solve all my problems, and I was finally going to like be a happier, healthier me, and losing weight was going to be easy, and I was going to work out more, and all this time that I spent just like high and exhausted and tired was going to be able to be channeled into this new, brighter version of me. And I guess I'm feeling like a little bit of disappointment that I haven't lost much weight since I've been sober, and I guess I'm
Okay.
just having a hard time with that.
All right, so let me ask you this. Are you a happier, healthier you?
I mean,
Outside of the weight loss?
I think that I think that I'm on my way.
Okay.
I feel like my brain is going through like so many shifts right now. And my therapist has been like, yeah, you're like, you got to be easy on yourself. And it can take like 90 days to kind of, reprogram things. And I mean, I started smoking weed when I was like 13 or 14 years old. So I know that, like,
So you think in 50 days you're going to unwind decades, right?
So there's that part of me is, thinking that so much change is going to happen so quick, and it's not. So I'm frustrated, but I do feel like I'm a bit more like stable, and like I have more
clear-headedness, and I'm not so emotionally erratic as I was before. Like, I felt like I used to tell myself, like, oh no, weed helps me. Like, it helps my anxiety and it makes me happy and it does all these things. But now, like, looking back retrospectively, I'm like, it made me more unstable and it made me more tired and it dulled me
It
down. So,
suppressed more emotions. It did. Yeah,
exactly.
just like food. I mean, we could like take weed and put food or booze or shopping or anything like that into the sentence, right?
Exactly. And that's kind of like what it was for me. It was like, okay, well, if I wasn't high, then I would want to drink. And if I wasn't high or drinking, then it's food. And now I don't have weed or alcohol, and now it's just food.
Right. So I want to, here's the first thing that comes to my mind is phases of change. Do you remember Corinne's teaching on phases of change? All right. So where do you think you are now? Are you
Like
20%, 80%, or 40%, 80%?
with weed or like
No. With habit change.
with habit change with food or like I guess what habit are we talking about?
Food. Let's talk
Food?
about food. Because you're like you're done with the weed and you're done with the drinking,
Well, I mean,
right?
so I've been in no, it'll be 3 years that I've been in no BS. So, I mean, I've had moments where I feel like my habits have, like, I've had like great downward trends with my weight where I felt like the habits were more like 60 and 80. And then now I feel like I'm not there anymore. I feel like
All
it's kind
right,
of gone
so,
back.
but you had the 60 and 80 habits when you were smoking the weed and drinking, right? So we've taken those off the table. So guess what's happening? You need food more to distract when you have the urges or to satisfy the urges, right? Because you're not doing the weed and the drinking. So of course it would shift back to maybe 40% success,
Yeah, I
right?
feel like it's kind of like 20% sometimes.
All
Like,
right,
I
so
feel like
20.
lately it's been a bit more 20. Like, I'm planning and I'm like having all like the best intentions in the start of the day, and then as soon as it's like time to eat something, I'm like, well, whatever.
All right, so let me ask you this. If we're back down to 20%, yet we've taken weed and drinking off the table, are you okay with that?
I mean, I am because I don't want the alternative. I
All
don't want
right.
to go back to any of those habits because they affect other areas of my life that are not just weight. They affect my work, they affect my family, they affect just like my general mood and happiness. So I know that I don't want to go
All right.
back there.
So my best advice for you, and this is totally action line, okay, is to go back to no BS like a beginner because you have a totally new set of circumstances that you're working with. First time you went through no BS, you had these other crutches. So it was easy to say, no, I'll have a drink instead. Or I'll smoke a little weed and that, that urge will go away or that feeling will go away. So I want you to go back through no BS like a brand new person with a new set of circumstances. Okay.
I can definitely do that.
I think that would be the best thing for you. Now, when it comes to being disappointed that the weight's not coming off or it's not coming off fast enough, I want you to catch that thought and think about the successes that you have had. Are you gaining weight?
I don't know. I haven't been really weighing myself lately. I probably haven't weighed myself in a good few weeks
Can you
because
tell a difference in your pants?
no,
All
I have
right. So we're
not.
going to say you're stable,
I'm
okay?
yeah, I think I'm probably maintaining.
All right. So I want some audience participation here. 100 days ago she quit drinking. Is that what you said? 50 days ago she quit weed and she hasn't gained weight. Does anybody on this call see a success in that? Let's see some emojis, y'all. Okay.
Thank you.
Look at that. All right.
I appreciate it.
Definitely. So, whatever you're doing now is creating maintenance for you. It's not creating weight gain. All right. So, you're actually on the good end of this. All you have to do is find the tweaks it takes to begin weight loss again. And you can do that by going back through no BS with this new set of circumstances and the air of a beginner.
Yeah, I think I can definitely do that. And I know that I've always had a hard time like celebrating my success. I feel like as soon as I accomplish anything, I just like raise the bar a little bit higher. So it's like anytime I accomplish anything, I just give it a little, oh, well, now I need this, and oh, now I need this. So I know I have a hard time celebrating myself, and I have been going to therapy, like in addition to No BS, which for, I've been kind of like I had a horrible experience with therapy when I was younger. So coming back to therapy now has been a huge help as well, because for a while I've just been like emotionally shut down to that. So I'm like, I'm feeling all of these things, and everything is coming to the surface that has been suppressed for so long. And I'm trying to celebrate all the little wins, and I'm trying to make the right decisions. I just get so frustrated with how long it takes. I just like I started No BS 3 years ago, and I was ready to like have, the relationship with food and that I wanted then, and to lose weight then, and it's like I'm still here, but I'm not still here. A lot has
No,
changed,
your
but
relationship with food is drastically different now than it was before you
it
became sober.
is. It is. And I know that it is. And I guess it's just kind of catching those thoughts that are trying to make me feel otherwise, because sometimes the thoughts feel like, oh, well, you haven't changed at all, and you're still the same size, and you haven't met any of your goals.
And that's just your brain giving you the news of the day. Okay? You have to intentionally focus on wins. So your homework, aside from no BS, is when you do your assessment at night, I don't care if you followed your plan or not, you can find something that went right through the day about your eating or your water drinking or something.
Yeah.
Okay? You
And
have
I don't
to.
know, that feels hard for me. Like, I don't know why it feels so hard for me to like do that. It's like I don't know. I've always been a little like icked out by that for some reason.
Well, that's because it's not because it's different, right? Your habit brain is like, what? Celebrate wins? Find something we did right? No.
It's
Let's
like
just go have a snack.
I've been doing like affirmations at night, because that was something my therapist recommended, because I have a hard time sleeping since stopping everything too. It's like I'm up late at night, and I'm like, that's when everything, like all the inner child stuff kind of bubbles up, and all the nighttime eating and everything comes. So I'm trying to use like affirmations and journaling as a bridge to help me go to sleep. And so like what affirmations are easier to me than celebrating my wins. And I don't know why that is. Like, I feel like they
Very,
should.
they're very related.
I know, but I have an easier time saying like, I am safe, I am here for myself, than I have being like, you did a good job, and
Okay.
you should be proud of this. Like,
All right,
same,
so let
like
me ask you
those are
this.
different for me.
Did you wait for hunger before you ate breakfast this morning?
I don't think so.
Did you eat breakfast to enough?
No.
What about lunch?
Lunch? No, I pretty much overate all day today, I think.
Okay.
I didn't really listen today. And I
Did you
was like,
drink any water today?
yes, I did drink water.
How much water did you drink?
Not enough.
Girl, how much water did you drink?
I don't know, like 40 ounces,
40
maybe.
ounces. Okay. Is that typical for you?
No, I usually drink a lot more water, and I usually don't have an issue with overeating in the morning. Like, it's very rare that I don't listen to hunger in the morning and afternoon. I think today was like kind of an off day. I woke up
Okay.
a little stressed out, and it's Fat Tuesday, so we got punchkies.
Oh, well, of course. Today, maybe today was a bad day for me to run through that litany. Let me ask you this. Are you getting any benefit out of our conversation? All right. So maybe your win for today is you raised your hand on a coaching call. Does that feel icky?
No, that doesn't feel icky. It just
Why?
doesn't feel like it doesn't feel icky. It just doesn't feel like enough.
Oh, so that's the problem. The little wins don't feel like enough to you.
No.
Okay. So Corinne lies to us when she says every little win is important.
It feels like a lie. I don't think she lies to us, but my brain is like, that can't be true.
Okay. So if you were to lose 1 pound this week, would you celebrate it or would you say it's not enough?
I'd probably say it's not enough.
All right. If you were to lose 50 pounds over 50 weeks, would you celebrate it or would you say it's not enough?
That's the problem, is I feel like if I have this mentality on the way down, I won't think it's enough. And that's kind of what I'm afraid of, is like,
Okay.
I think I subconsciously I'm afraid of that. I'm afraid of like, okay, well, I quit this and I quit that and I went to therapy and I did all the things and maybe I lose all the weight and I like get the body I want and I still don't feel happy. I think I'm afraid of that. And I
Well,
feel,
if
yeah.
you don't start celebrating small wins or acknowledging, not even celebrating, acknowledging small wins, you're right. That's where you're going to end up.
Yeah.
So your job is your job. All of our jobs are in the decisions we make today,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And what we choose to think today,
Yeah.
tomorrow, we got to take care of tomorrow, and yesterday's written, yesterday's done.
Yeah.
So your work is to say, is to decide that small wins are enough. Small steps are enough. I talk about this in my nervous system group sometimes. Are you old enough to remember the old Santa Claus is coming to town?
The song.
Christmas, the Christmas movie with the little claymation people. Okay, maybe not.
No.
There's a character in Santa Claus is Coming to Town called the Winter Warlock. He's the bad guy. And he's all hunched over and he's got a cane. See, I'm not the only one who's old enough to remember this. He's all hunched over and he's got a cane. And when he starts to become a nicer person toward the end of the show, he starts to walk rather than being pushed around in his chair. And he sings this song and it goes, "Put one foot in front of the other, and soon you'll be walking across the floor. Put one foot in front of the other, and soon you'll be walking out the door."
Yeah.
That's what you have to focus on, is that one foot in front of the other,
Yeah.
because eventually you're going to walk across the house, you're going to be like the Winter Warlock and walk out the door and
Yeah.
all the things, okay? But it takes doing the little steps to create the big results.
Yeah.
And if you don't acknowledge the little steps, guess what? They're not going to go into your habit cycle.
Yeah.
They're not going to be seen as successes. And they won't go into your habit cycle. And you're going to be here 3 years from now going, "Kathy,
Yeah. And
nothing's working."
I think that at some point when, I was going down the scale, even though I was like high and like still like very like addicted to things, I think there was a point where I was doing that and I was realizing that, and that's why I was able to kind of shift into more of that 60-80% range. But I think you're right that I just kind of have a new brain I'm working with, and I need to kind of go back to those basics, because that was a problem for me in the beginning, and I think I worked through it then with all of my other vices, and now it's, yeah, I think it's just a reprogramming of my brain that's happening now, being sober. And yeah.
Well, I can tell you I'm really proud of you. I
Oh.
think it's amazing that you've quit drinking, you've quit the weed, and now you're working on the weight loss.
Yeah.
I have no doubt if you can wrap your brain around small wins that you're going to be successful, because
Yeah.
you've already shown such resilience. It's amazing.
Yeah. I really appreciate it, and I want to be able to like feel that, because it feels good when other people tell me it, but it's like, why can't I tell that to myself?
But
Why
do you
can't?
believe it when I say it?
It feels nice.
But do you believe it?
Don't know how to know what I believe lately.
When I say it and it feels nice to you, it doesn't like set you off, it doesn't like make you want to put up a wall. You can receive it.
It makes me a little like I feel, that feeling when like you laugh in an uncomfortable situation. It's kind of like that, where it's like I smile and it's like, that's nice, but it's uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable because it's not practiced to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a book by Mel Robbins called The High Five Habit. Have you read it?
I want to, because I've been trying that habit out a little bit, because I listen to her podcast occasionally, but I should read the book, because I do like Mel Robbins, so.
And she does a great job with explaining the concept behind it and why it's important, and that might help you too. You've got
Yeah.
a lot of homework, girl.
I know.
All
Yeah.
right, hang in there, okay?
Yeah, thank you so much. I
All
appreciate it.
righty, see ya.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Robin, I am so sorry, but we are at the hour and I have another call. So I want you to take your stuff to Ask Coaches. And the coaches are amazing. If they have any trouble with your question, they'll let me know. Please come next week, next week, next time, if you don't get resolved what you need to resolve. Okay. All right, everybody. Have a great evening. Thank you for being here. I will see you soon. Okay. All right. Take care. Bye-bye.